This is a reading of the book, The Threshold of the Spiritual World, by Rudolf Steiner. This is Aphorism 12, entitled The True Capital I of the Human Being. When the soul experiences itself in the astral body, in an environment of living thought beings, it knows that it is outside the physical and etheric bodies. It feels that its thinking, feeling, and willing belong to a limited area of the world, but that its own primal being could encompass much more. Thus, in the spiritual world, the clairvoyant soul can recognize that, quote, in the physical world, I am confined to what I can observe through my senses. In the elemental world, the etheric body limits me. In the spiritual world, I am bound to the extent that I find myself upon a cosmic island, and I can feel my spiritual existence extending only as far as its shores. But beyond those shores is a world I could perceive, if I could penetrate the veil woven before my spiritual eye, EYE, by the deeds of living thought beings, unquote. The soul can work its way through this veil if it continues to unfold the capacity for unreserved devotion and sacrifice it needs for life in the elemental world. In order to be protected from the reduction, darkening, and even the annihilation of consciousness that can occur in the suprasensory worlds, it must continue to strengthen those powers that grow through sensory experience. In the physical world, in order to experience thoughts within itself, the soul needs only its naturally given strength. In the elemental world, those thoughts are reduced to something to be, are reduced to become dreamlike experiences, which are forgotten the very moment they arise. That is, if the soul, before entering the elemental world, has not worked to strengthen its own inner life, its thoughts there will not be at all conscious. Above all, the soul must strengthen the force of its will, because in the elemental world, thoughts are not just thoughts, but something with their own inner activity and their own life. In the elemental world, the will must hold on to thoughts, or they will withdraw from the sphere of consciousness. In the spiritual world, thoughts are completely independent living beings. There, for thoughts to remain in consciousness, the soul must be able to unfold the same strength within itself that the physical body unfolds for it in the sensory world, and the etheric body's elemental sympathies and antipathies develop for it in the etheric world. In the spiritual world, however, the soul must relinquish all these. The experiences of the physical and elemental worlds exist there only as memories, and the soul itself is outside these two worlds. The spiritual world surrounds it. At first, this spiritual world makes no impression upon the astral body. The soul must learn to live by itself, on its own memories. Initially, the content of its consciousness is only, I was, now I stand before nothingness. But when memories arise out of experiences that are not simply reflections of sensory or elemental processes, but that instead represent free thought experiences arising from these processes, then a conversation in thoughts begins in the soul between those memories and the apparent nothingness of the spiritual world. And what arises as a result of that conversation becomes the conceptual world within the astral body's consciousness. At this point in its development, the soul needs the strength to enable it to stand at the shore of the only world it has known and confront the apparent nothingness before it. This apparent nothingness is at first a true nothingness for the life of the soul. Yet in a sense, the soul still has the world of its memories behind it. It may, as it were, hold on to those memories. It may live within them. And the more it holds on to them, the stronger becomes the forces of the astral body. With that strengthening begins the conversation between the soul's previous existence and the beings of the spiritual world. In this conversation, the soul comes to experience itself as an astral being. To use an expression reflective of ancient traditions, the soul experiences itself as an astral being in the cosmic word. By cosmic word, I mean the cognitive deeds of thought beings that occur as living conversation among spirit beings in the spiritual world. Such spiritual conversations are, for the spiritual world, exactly the same as deeds are for the sensory world. If the soul now wishes to enter the supra-spiritual world, it must wipe out all its memories of the physical and elemental worlds through its own will. It can do this only if the experience of spiritual conversation has made it feel certain that it will not completely lose its own existence, even if everything that until now made it conscious of that existence is destroyed. The soul must place itself before a spiritual abyss, and there seize the will to forget its willing, feeling, and thinking. It must renounce the past in its consciousness. We could describe this decision as the resolution to bring about a complete sleep of consciousness. This is done not by the condition of our physical or etheric body, but through our own will. But this decision must not be made with the intention of returning, after a period of unconsciousness, to our previous state of consciousness. Rather, our intention must be for our consciousness only to enter oblivion by its own will. We must remember that we can enter oblivion in this way only in the spiritual world. We cannot do so in the physical or elemental worlds. In the physical world, annihilation, which appears as death, is possible, whereas in the elemental world, there is no death. To the extent that human beings are part of the elemental world, they cannot die. They only change into other beings. In the spiritual world, too, no decisive transformation in the strict sense is possible. For there, no matter what you may change into, what you have experienced in the past reveals itself as your own conscious existence. For that memory existence in the spiritual world to disappear, the soul must force it to sink into oblivion by a willed decision. Suprasensory consciousness can arrive at that willed decision only if it has won the necessary strength of soul. When this happens, the true nature of the I arises out of the oblivion that the soul called forth. The supra-spiritual environment gives the human soul knowledge of this true I. Just as suprasensory consciousness can experience itself in the etheric and astral bodies, so can it also experience itself in the true I. Spiritual vision does not create the true I, for the I is present in the depths of every human soul. Suprasensory consciousness merely experiences knowingly something previously unknown to the human soul, something which nonetheless belongs to its nature. After physical death, human beings gradually grow into the spiritual environment. We emerge there, at first, with memories of the sensory world. Although we no longer have the support of our physical bodies, we are nevertheless able to live consciously in those memories, because the corresponding living thought beings clothe themselves within them. Thus, memories in the spiritual environment after death no longer have the kind of shadowy existence they had in the physical world. Then, at a point in time between death and a new birth, those living thought beings of the spiritual environment act with such strength that without our willing it, the previously described process of forgetting occurs. At that same time, experience in the true I rises to the surface. By strengthening the soul's life, clairvoyant consciousness brings about as a free spiritual deed something that occurs, so to speak, naturally between death and birth. Nevertheless, the memory of a previous earthly life can occur in physical experience only when, in that earthly life, we have turned our thoughts and concepts toward the spiritual world. For a clearly recognizable memory of something to arise in consciousness, we must have known of it earlier. Thus, to be able justifiably to expect to remember a previous earthly life during the one following it, we must acquire knowledge of ourselves as spiritual beings during this present earthly life. This knowledge need not be gained through clairvoyance. But for those who gain direct knowledge of the spiritual world through clairvoyance, a memory of a former life can arise in the soul during earthly lives that follow the one in which they gained the knowledge. This memory is like a memory within sensory existence of something one has experienced for oneself. A memory occurs of something that was experienced. For those who penetrate spiritual science with understanding, even if without spiritual vision, that memory is comparable to those we have in sensory existence of events that we have only heard described. That is the end of aphorism 12, and this is the summary. As human beings, we bear within ourselves a true I, which belongs to a supra-spiritual world. In the sensory world, this true I is concealed by our experiences of thinking, feeling, and willing. Even in the spiritual world, we first become aware of it only when we extinguish in ourselves the memory of all that we can experience through thinking, feeling, and willing. Knowledge of the true I arises out of the forgetting of everything experienced in the sensory, elemental, and spiritual worlds. The human physical body reveals its true nature when the soul considers it from the supra-spiritual world. It then becomes evident that the rudimentary outlines of the human physical body came into being during the general cosmic processes at work in the Earth's Saturn state. The physical body developed into what it is now in the Earth's subsequent Sun, Moon, and Earth phases. In line with the above, we can consider the entire nature of the human being schematically as follows. Through the physical body, in the sensory environment, human beings recognize themselves as independent I beings. This physical body was formed, in its rudimentary outlines, during a far distant Saturn stage of the Earth. It developed into what it is now during the Earth's four planetary transformations. Through the subtle or etheric body in the elemental environment, human beings recognize themselves as members of the Earth's living body. The first outlines of this etheric body were formed from universal cosmic existence during the Earth's Sun stage. It then developed into what it now is during the Sun, Moon, and Earth stages of planetary transformation. Through the astral body, in a spiritual environment, human beings are part of a spiritual world. The astral body contains the other self, which realizes and expresses itself through repeated earthly lives. Finally, through the true I, in a supra-spiritual environment, human beings discover themselves as spiritual beings, even though all experience of the sensory, elemental, and spiritual worlds, that is, all experience of the senses of thinking, feeling, and willing, pass into oblivion. That is the end of the summary. I'm also going to add here another small section entitled Remarks on the Relationship of the Descriptions Given Here to Those Given in Title Theosophy and Title An Outline of Esoteric Science. The words used to describe the soul's experiences in the elemental and spiritual worlds must be adapted to the special quality of those experiences. In naming them, we need to be aware that experiences in the elemental world are quite different from experiences in the sensory world. The basis of those experiences is the soul's capacity for transformation and its awareness of sympathies and antipathies. The terms used will necessarily reflect something of the changing nature of those experiences. Therefore, the terms are not as fixed as they would be when used for the sensory world. Those who do not take this into account will easily find contradictions between the terms used in this volume and those used in my books titled Theosophy and titled An Outline of Esoteric Science. We can resolve those contradictions by recalling that in both those texts, terms were chosen to characterize the soul's experiences during the whole developmental period between birth, conception, and death, and between death and rebirth. In this book, on the other hand, terms were chosen that would be appropriate to the experiences of clairvoyant consciousness when it enters the elemental world and the spiritual realms. From Title Theosophy and Title An Outline of Esoteric Science, you learn that soon after the soul separates from the physical body with death, the body I have here called the etheric body also separates from the soul. The soul then lives in the being I refer to as the astral body. After separation from the soul, the etheric body is transformed in the elemental world. It merges into the beings that form the elemental world. In that metamorphosis, the human soul no longer accompanies the etheric body. At the same time, the soul, after death, experiences the processes in the elemental world as its outer world. Title Theosophy and Title An Outline of Esoteric Science describe experience in the elemental world from the outside, as the soul's passage through the soul world. Thus, we must think of what I there call the soul world as the same as what, from the perspective of supersensory consciousness, I here call the elemental world. Therefore, between death and birth, when the soul separates from the astral body, as described in Title Theosophy, the soul continues to exist in the being referred to here as the true I. In order that the soul should no longer accompany it, the astral body then does what is characterized here as forgetting. In a sense, it plunges into a world where there remains nothing that it can perceive through the senses or experience through willing, feeling, and thinking as they developed in the human physical body. The soul's true I then experiences that world as its outer world. If we wished to characterize the experiences in that outer world, we could describe the journey through the spiritual realm as is done in Title Theosophy and Title An Outline of Esoteric Science. When the soul experiences itself in the true I in the spiritual world, it has around it what formed within it as soul experiences during sensory existence. Between death and birth, within the world described here as that of living thought beings, the soul finds everything in its inner existence that it experienced through its sensory perceptions and through thinking, feeling, and willing. That is the end of the book. There will be an afterword attached as well, however.